In February 2016, Dr. Holger Adelman was appointed Senior Vice President and Managing Director for DIA Europe, Middle East and Africa. Previously, Dr. Adelman served as the global head of Merck Serono's clinical pharmacology and clinical biomarker operations, where he re-engineered the clinical biomarker and companion diagnostics business to better align with the company's upcoming portfolio. I am Alberto Grignolo, Deputy Editor for the DIA Global Forum magazine. I am delighted to be with Dr. Adelman at DIA's flagship offering in Europe, our 28th annual Euro meeting, to discuss the progress and promise of DIA in Europe, the Middle East, and Africa. Welcome, Holger, and thank you for your time today.
Thank you very much, Alberto. I'm really very pleased to be here and have this chat with you.
First question I would like to ask you is really fundamental. What most attracted you to DIA as an organization through which you could serve the healthcare communities across Europe, the Middle East, and Africa?
Well, I'm in industry now for 26 years in different positions within the European pharmaceutical companies, and our paths have crossed many times over the years with DIA, so I always kind of recognize DIA as a huge network, as a network that you could trust, which is independent, where kind of healthcare stakeholders from all areas, regulators, industry, small biotechs, patients nowadays really are very comfortable to share, to join, to convene. So this I think this platform was unique, and I thought after some 26 years in the pharma business, I would like to take a slightly different viewpoint and look at it from a different angle, and that's why I got attracted to that role.
What do you see as the two or three biggest opportunities for DIA, Europe, Middle East and Africa, to advance knowledge and innovation to speed development of healthcare products for patients in these regions?
Certainly in Europe, I see a consolidation going on, a harmonization of many areas in regulatory science, which is good. It's still not completely done. An area which I would like to focus on as well is the big area of self-medication, OTC. You know, this is an area where there's absolutely wild regulation, and I think DIA could provide an excellent platform to solve that. So in the area of Middle East, I think there's a huge development need there, and we have chosen to be present in this area at least once a year with meetings and also trainings. The area of regulatory science is important in this area, but they also need quite a lot of training in the area of pharmaceutical manufacturing technologies, quality, CMC, and so that there's a big need there to become inspection ready. So I think this is basically the area for growth in these kind of areas. In Africa, I see DIA as a partner for other big players in that region. We don't have a big footprint there. We did some activities there over the past. But in Africa, I think my strategy would be to hook on to activities driven by the World Bank and the Gates Foundation in the first instance to provide trainings and also provide a platform. So this would be my strategy for that region.
Are there already, is there a collaborative framework between DIA and the World Bank and Foundation in place?
Yes. We have already many touch points between both faculties, so that's in place as something just to build on. So this is something that DIA has done in the past, and these are one of the many stakeholders I will contact in the next weeks. This is my week 7 with DIA now, so, and they're certainly on my list for the very near future.
What aspects of your previous professional experience will be most helpful in your new position?
Well, I'm not only an MD, trained in cardiovascular medicine, and over the years I worked in several therapeutic areas such as immunology, respiratory, oncology, but I'm also, I hold a knowledge management PhD, so this is, of course, something that is at my heart. So I think an important further offering that DIA can do beyond these trainings and meetings is really to be more kind of visible for knowledge capture. So really to look at, for example, at the current communities that we have set up. So the communities are a fantastic platform for all sorts of people to interact offline, not only in meetings but also in between meetings. So the idea is really to harvest kind of conversations from these discussions at the communities when they have reached a certain stage of of maturity, then, for example, get them commented, annotated by some thought leadership, and then play that back as a condensed piece of knowledge back to the community. So I think by this we will produce kind of condensed opinion knowledge, which we then play back to members that are active in the communities and provide them with some extra value.
I think it's fascinating that you have a PhD in knowledge management. I didn't know such a degree existed. Are there some very
information and knowledge management? That's the degree.
Quite interesting. Yeah. Are there any very novel ways in which you think you might approach the vast amount of information that occurs? Any shared at DIA events? Are there some really new ways to approach this?
Yes, there are some new ways. I would like to do, because at the moment I see a lot of value happening at DIA. It's not just that people meet and it's not just that they hear nice stories. It's also that particularly some of the interactive sessions, they really progress themes. So themes are being really taken from A to B, grow. There's more clarity formation around themes. And some of these very valuable discussion and progression stops at the end of the meeting. So what I would like to do to advance that is really, if you could really agree on three or four themes. And this is what I will do with my regional advisory team, so that at the end of this meeting, after this meeting, literally after 2 weeks after this meeting, we'll get together and we'll look at the meeting and extract three or four themes that we would like to progress offline with a smaller cross-functional group, from different stakeholders. And these kind of themes may then even be played back into further DIA meetings around the world and even progressed. So I would like to keep the stream of knowledge generation ongoing even beyond meetings.
Which themes have you picked up at the Euro meeting this week in Hamburg that you might want to share with us?
I think, as usual, the regulatory town hall was a fascinating event, and I think several of these of the people that I've spoken to found this one of the highlights. Another quite insightful topic was really the area of big data. I think for several people this was a kind of a real life check. Now there was a big hype around big data in the last weeks, months, years. But now the people are coming a bit more into the reality, where they see that even for big data you have to gather them with some rules, because otherwise you take a lot of noise with you and you can't see the wood for the trees in the big data. So I think it's not that the big data lost their fascination. It's a bit of a real life check. So I think this for me was also very insightful, and for quite a few people I spoke to.
Collaboration is obviously extremely important in the modern workplace. In your view and based on your experience, what are your keys to developing and maintaining a good team?
I guess you talk a bit about my own leadership and my own team.
Sure.
Yeah. So there's two key things to that, amongst communication, of course. But there's first, I like teams that are diverse. So, so I like to, you can use any kind of personality tool that you wish to choose, that you're experienced with. For example, I'm a big fan of Myers-Briggs, So I like to to compose my team if I have the opportunity to put people in, so they are really made up of different individuals that have different views of looking at things, so this is certainly one key aspect of having a good team, having a diverse team. Quite a few leaders, they try to bring people in there that are almost like themselves, because these are people that they can identify easily because the brainwaves easily match. But in the end, I'm not sure whether it will be that beneficial if you have a team composed of almost the likes, So you would like to have people that are different, that have different view, that are more data-driven. I'm an ENTJ, I'm happy to fill 20% of lack of data with my intuition. But sometimes I need to have someone who looks a bit deeper into some areas. So these are the things, a mixed team and mixed personalities, mixed ways of data processing, of looking into things, of thinking. This is good. The other thing is really to give people ownership so that everyone is really accountable for something. This is particularly important and also possible in a small team. I mean, my Basel team is about 20 people, and you can easily do that in a team that is at that size, to give really everyone something that they are accountable for. Because this will not only give them a clear focus of what they do, but it will also give them a sense of pride when they achieve something, you know. So this is really important. I mean, coming from Big Pharma, you know, there was quite often people, reports came back to me, and I said, well, this decision is really suboptimal, you know. Why did you come to this decision? Well, then they told me it was a team decision. And I usually get back to them and say, come on, who's the team? The team is consisting of people, and you're one of these, you know, one of these members of the team. So don't tell me, you know, the decision has been made by the team, you know. So please take ownership in what you did. So this is an example, you know.
Your philosophy seems to be driven by considerations around diversity, inclusion, and accountability. Is that
absolutely
fair?
That's fair. That's a fair summary, Alberto.
And those are very common and emerging trends in the world today. Diversity, inclusion,
absolutely.
Accountability.
Absolutely.
So DIA subscribes through you and others to these principles.
Yes,
sounds like
that's true. Absolutely true.
And finally, let me ask you, what message would you like to share with DIA's member and volunteer network across Europe, the Middle East, and Africa?
A simple message, just get engaged. I think DIA is providing a very good platform, not only at the meetings, at the trainings, but also now in the communities. So I would like the members and possible future members and the volunteers really to use the community more, to engage even offline beyond meetings, and really to shape opinion. And it would be really good, because I'm sure that out of these new community platforms that we have on the internet, you know, that we can really see emerging trends and gems that we can really pull up play back into a meeting, so have some add more relevance to the meeting content. So so that we can really see this is a topic that really has created a lot of buzz, a lot of energy in certain discussions, and that's why we have decided to bring that back and bring it into a meeting for further discussion.
If DIA members in Europe or elsewhere volunteer or want to get engaged, can your organization readily accommodate this wish and get people engaged quickly so they will?
Of course, we have a lot of
interest.
Yes, of course, we have a lot of growth opportunities. So DIA is a adaptive organism. You know, DIA, in particular, in the last 3-4 years, what I recognize that DIA has really very much become an adaptive animal, which I think is great. So there's a lot of future opportunities, future trends. We have opportunities for volunteers to shape a particularly new, also a completely new set of training offerings. Currently, DIA provides very, very specialized trainings in regulatory, for example, in pharmacovigilance, CMC, and so on. And my aim now is also to provide more complex trainings that are not only for the expert, but also maybe for a program lead that need to oversee a certain phase in the drug development process. That means it's not so much the going down, it's more the going across knowledge. So DIA has the opportunity, because we have all the different modules. It's just creating new opportunities, you know, by pulling modules into such a training from across and not just from within, you know. So there's a lot of opportunity to help shape the offerings together. So this is a plea to all our volunteers really to think across and you know, so to help shape kind of unique products that attract a different, more expanded set of customers.
In closing, Holger, thank you very much for speaking with the DIA Global Forum, and good luck with your important work here in the region.
Thank you very much, Alberto. It was a pleasure to talk to you this morning.